From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Open lines next hour. Oh, yes. Those open lines with a weird and wacky hotline. Who knows what's going to happen with that one? Well, in the Manila, Philippines, emergency workers mounted a massive cleanup operation after the strongest typhoon to pound Manila in a decade left a trail of devastation. At least 48 people dead, millions more without power before heading toward Vietnam. We have not heard from Art Bell at all. As a matter of fact, when we tried calling his phone line, we got more than an unfriendly sound. So that is not good. So just to be on the safe side, we will probably be ready with a best of, if we do not hear from Art, a best of on Saturday, and then I'll do his Sunday show. And again, we'll qualify this by saying if we don't hear from him, but they got rocketed out there with this typhoon. We have not heard from him, and his phone lines do not sound like they are functioning properly. The House of Representatives has approved legislation providing a legal framework for President Bush's electronic surveillance program, which he says is vital to preventing new terrorist attacks. The House approval comes as the Republican-controlled Congress races to complete key legislative priorities. The once secret program approved by President Bush after September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks sparked fierce debate across the United States about personal freedoms and the war on terrorism. In just a moment, we're going to check in with Alex Jones and get his take on all of this. Al-Qaeda's number two man, Ayman al-Zawahiri, attacks President Bush and the Pope in a new videotape that surfaced on the Internet. Strange, because Hamid Mir reported on this program a week and a half ago that there would be a new tape coming, maybe audio. He said it would be from Osama bin Laden. This one comes from Zawahiri. According to the translation provided by the terrorist tracking organization site, Zawahiri asks President Bush in this form of a question, "Why don't you tell them how many million citizens of America and its allies you intend to kill in search of the imaginary victory and in breathless pursuit of the mirage towards which you are driving your people's sons in order to increase your profits?" That was a question from Zawahiri to President George Bush. A new poll out by MSNBC, and there seems to be a growing concern with the government somehow being involved or not providing all the information in 9/11. Let me just read you this report taken by MSNBC. The question was, do you believe any of the conspiracy theories suggesting the U.S. government was somehow involved in 9/11. Now, they don't break down that somehow. The answers, yes, the government has left many questions unanswered about that day. 61%. I believe that was 44% just a few weeks ago. No, these theories are absurd and disrespectful, especially to those who lost their lives on 9/11. 34%. And then 5.7% simply say, I'm not sure. The big story here is not the percent. The story here is the fact that things are changing even more toward the conspiratorial side. The first female paying space tourist, Anoush Ansari, has landed on the Kazakh steppe after a journey back from the International Space Station. The Soyuz capsule also carried fellow U.S. astronaut Jeff Williams and Russian cosmonaut Pavel Vinogradov. It landed in the 56-mile predicted zone. Oslo teens who drank the most sugary soft drinks apparently also had the most mental health problems, such as hyperactivity and distress, according to Norwegian researchers. The study of more than 5,000 Norwegian 15 to 16-year-olds showed a clear and direct association between soft drink intake and hyperactivity, and a more complex link with other mental and behavioral disorders. Too much sugar. An Indian grandmother has revealed that she eats a kilo of sand a day to stay fit and healthy. She's 80 years old now, considers sand an essential part of her daily diet, and eats a kilo of it before breakfast, lunch, and afternoon tea. Something's happening with animals again, this time in Mountain View, California. Aggressive squirrels pouncing on people. One attacked a four-year-old boy. The little boy was you know, going to be eating a muffin that his mother gave him at a picnic. Squirrel didn't want any part of the kid. He wanted the muffin, but he decided, well, I'll take the kid out while I can. The boy had to get some very serious rabies shots after the attack. He's still getting the shots, as a matter of fact. People just don't know what's up with these animals. Now, in a moment, we're going to check in with our very own Alex Jones. We're going to talk with Alex about this whole surveillance situation, maybe even this recent MSNBC poll as well, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Used to laugh at him. They used to scoff at him. Not anymore. Alex Jones is an award-winning documentary filmmaker and political researcher. His news websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, at the forefront of the exploding alternative media. Alex is recognized by many as the father of the 9/11 truth movement, being the first to question the official story. His newest film is Martial Law 9/11. It details the latest 9/11 revelations. We're going to talk with Alex about a couple subjects down to the half hour tonight, getting back for a full program in the not-too-distant future. Alex, welcome back. How are you?
George, it's great to be on the broadcast. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. You sound up, ready to go. You know, we talked to you very late into the wee hours when you were in New York covering the Ground Zero ceremonies.
That's right. I was sitting up in the chair there at about 3:30 a.m. Eastern, and fell asleep in the chair, and the phone rings, and I'm live 2 minutes later. But no, I have not nodded off this evening. In fact, I routinely tune in, so thanks for having me on tonight. You know, there's several pieces of legislation that have passed the House and the Senate today and are going to be going to the president's desk, and you mentioned one of them. First, they claimed that there was no warrantless spying. Then they got caught. Now, the Associated Press has the headline, Wiretap Bill Sets Up the End of the Fourth Amendment, and that's the prohibition against unreasonable search and seizure without due process and without oath or affirmation. And so this overturns the Fourth Amendment, and it's massive total NSA spying on a host of issues, many of them non-terror related. That's now being codified. And then even more importantly, George, it has now passed the House and the Senate, and it is H.R. 6054, or the Combatant Military Commission law, and I have spent over 5 hours in the last few days reading it, and up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, we have all of the analysis up on Coast to Coast AM. You guys have a link to it.
Yeah.
And I've gone section through section, but here's the L.A. Times. Yale law professor Bruce Ackerman states in the L.A. Times, the compromise legislation authorizes the president to seize American citizens as enemy combatants, even if they have never left the United States. And once thrown into military prison, they cannot expect a trial by their peers or any other of the normal protections of the Bill of Rights. And it states that if you don't have allegiance to the U.S. and you are a U.S. citizen, it clearly states U.S. citizen, that just not having allegiance, the New York Times is calling it the Alien and Sedition Act of 1918, where if you even criticize the government, you are secretly arrested, secretly imprisoned, and you can be secretly executed. Any type of vandalism in the U.S. is now an act of terrorism. Any destruction of property is an act of terrorism. It takes Section 802 of the First Patriot Act that states that all misdemeanors are acts of terrorism and expands it. And then the media has the nerve, and the politicians have the nerve to lie and say that this doesn't affect U.S. citizens when a cursory reading shows it. But my analysis has found even more than what the L.A. Times has found. George, I am horrified.
Well, see, the president did, and what I think the major media should have pointed out, is that the intent, of course, is for these terrorists abroad. However, it gives latitude to any governmental authority to encroach on Americans. And even though, obviously, the talk right now is terrorism, let's not argue the merits tonight about who and why.
Sure.
But the issue is okay, we want to get these terrorists, and we want to be able to subject them to possible arrest, possible torture, possible conviction. But what this law will do is it will give some government authority at the right time the right to do the same thing with Americans.
Well, exactly. Going back to the first Patriot Act passed October 27th, 2001, and then Patriot Act expansion last year when they took the sunset off and radically expanded it and increased the powers, they swore it would not be used against American citizens. But in the very article that myself and Paul Watson put together today about this, we show the mainstream media stories where they are using it in non-terror-related cases coast to coast.
Unbelievable. Look, let's get your reaction, too, to another story that came out today on MSNBC that now shows not 44%, not 36%, but 61% of the people polled in this survey, 70,000 responses, so your plus or minus error rate is pretty low. 61% say to the question, do you believe any of the conspiracy theories suggesting the U.S. government was somehow involved in 9/11? It's now up to 61%. They're saying yes. Why is this changing so fast?
Sure. Well, notice they use the term conspiracy. That poll is also leading its, quote, unofficial story. Whenever you use the term conspiracy theory, whenever the mainstream media uses that term, as they do in the poll, they're already downgrading it and saying this isn't proven or this is the realm of weirdos. But despite the fact that it's a push poll, and that's considered a push poll, posing as scientific, still 61%. But if we look at the three different Zogbys they've had, 68% in the latest one believe there's a cover-up, 42% believe it's pure inside job. Scripps Howard News Service, you were correct, 44% believe cover-up, 36% believe inside job. And that was just about, what, a month and a half ago. And George, this is what I've seen. I've seen an acceleration, and I think people are waking up because we know we relied too about WMDs. People have now found out about the amnesty plan for the illegal aliens that's been sold to us as a guest worker program. People have now learned about the North American Union, the end of sovereignty, the secret government meetings. I mean, the North American government, as you know, George, one of the first shows to report on it, but for those that didn't tune in those nights a year ago, they are now having official meetings. And so people are learning that they've been lied to. And the good news is, in the past, Americans would be mad at one party or the other, and then the establishment would kind of tag team us like professional wrestlers and fool us. One party'd be in, one party'd be out. Now, in major polls, 85% of people, on average, do not trust either party. And I think that's good news because that's part of the process of getting our country back. The people now know that it's not partisan, that this global crime syndicate has bought off both parties. And so the establishment is panicking and trying to come in with these draconian laws like we just mentioned. I mean, seriously, the headline should read, if the mainstream media was being accurate about this, the death of the Constitution, the birth of dictatorship. And when I say dictatorship, I don't even mean puppets like Bill Clinton or George Bush. They're just front men. A dictatorship of really criminal law that runs against the very fabric of what our society is all about.
Well, this is interesting, too, because I am seeing not only the increase in these polls, the increase in attention with you and your own program, but we're seeing a tremendous increase in the audience size here at Coast to Coast.
Of course.
And something is happening. The American public, I think they're getting fed up with everything. I think they're fed up with the gasoline prices. They're fed up with getting lied to. They're fed up with everything.
Well, I remember you earlier this year, I think it was in January, saying, I'm sick of it. You know, in the past, I wasn't sure if there was a global criminal cabal, but you said, I'm sure of it now with trying to give the Arabs 21 ports and then lying about it and saying it was six. I mean, that's another big part of this because, you know, they tell us we're about to be hit by terrorists any second, but the borders are still wide open. See, and so just like you've gotten fed up, just like I've gotten fed up, I mean, I wasn't as radical as I am now 5 years ago. I mean, this is hard to believe, and you're right, though, George. The people are demanding alternative information. So, of course, you've already got the biggest radio show overnight, second biggest in the country, and now it's going to only grow exponentially. Of course, PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com used to get millions of visitors a week. Now they get millions a day. That's going to happen because the people are demanding the alternative, and they're going to the places they trust, like Coast to Coast AM, and that's why I've been so honored to be part of the broadcast.
Well, let's look at the entire package in the few minutes we have left here, Alex. Where are we headed with all of this? I mean, is all this going to come to fruition? Or, like the poll says, if you got 61% of the Americans now saying, you know, enough is enough, we believe there's something very strange here. And they don't point the direct fingers. They don't say exactly what might be wrong. They think we're being lied to, and they think the conspiracy theories, theories that you used to be categorized in, that 61% of the people now believe you're telling the truth. You're right.
And, George, you're a newsman yourself. You know that once polls go over 60%, they accelerate towards 80, 90%. It took 35 years in this country to go above 60% believing the Kennedy assassination was an inside job. Now the national average with a national scientific poll is 92% believing criminal elements of the government killed JFK, because people now, after 43 years, have learned all the facts. Well, in 5 years, we've gone from maybe 3 or 4% thinking it was an inside job, who'd seen government documents and knew about Northwoods, people like myself, to now the vast majority believing there's a cover-up and some type of inside job. And when I say inside job, we've got to do a program on this sometime. It just came out today. Parez Musharraf, our ally, just came out and said, guess who killed Pearl, the CIA guy? A MI6 agent killed him. And he said, by the way, this MI6 agent was meeting with bin Laden. You see, every time we track back the Arab terrorist or the Muslim terrorist, there's always Western intelligence behind it. Criminal elements in Western intelligence are funding and controlling this to scare the population into submission. So I'm not saying there isn't a real threat by foreign terrorism. I'm simply looking at the foreign terrorists are the glove.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because I've never asked you this question directly, because I know where you're headed, and I know what you've been saying over the last several years on this program and your own. What involvement do you think bin Laden and al-Qaeda may have had in 9/11?
Well, al-Qaeda is government-created. Al-Qaeda is created by U.S. and British intelligence. It is protected, and it did provide some of the operatives at some level. And we know that those individuals that got on those planes had some affiliation. The problem is they also had more of an affiliation with U.S. military bases and covert operations. So that's my point, is that in every case, not in some cases, in every case, these people are being handled by U.S., British, or other foreign intelligence agencies. So I do believe that they are operatives. And many times there are Western controllers over people who don't even know who they're working for. By the time you get through 5 or 6 layers down to the useful idiot on the ground, they're just some dupe who set up and told, get on these planes. And we clearly know those men were trained at U.S. military bases and at spy bases, and that came out in the Associated Press, other major publications. But you were asking where all this is going. There is a collision, George, as you know. The yes. New World Order is rising. At the same time, the counter to it, for every action there's an equal or greater reaction, the counter to that is now rising. And so we live in the most interesting times ever. In the next year or two, maybe even sooner, we're going to see the future of our planet geopolitically basically laid out for us. He was very evil, but what he said was true. Vladimir Lenin stated that there are times in history that more happens in a month than happens in 100 years. And I think that right now we're entering that key phase. And so there is an awakening happening globally, and all of these hidden things are being revealed, as so many people have foretold. That's now happening. But at the same time, the establishment or the dark forces, the workers in the dark that you talk about, they're moving to suppress this awakening desperately right now. And I have to tell you, they're failing. But they may throw a fit as they fail and basically overturn the chessboard, throwing a fit and devastate our civilization in the process.
I do not believe the Illuminati ever thought that the average person would be as concerned or uprise or be as vocal as they are today.
Well, you're right, George. And the country is on fire. The world is on fire. And I am just honored to be with you right there at the head of exposing this. And thanks for having me on.
Well, just to tune up, Alex, for a full program, okay?
Thank you, George.
All right, that's Alex Jones. Now, in a moment, Ed and Chris Sherwood. Another flying humanoid videotaped above Santa Monica. Incredible stories. There are at least 18 daylight UFO sightings above the Northwest Santa Monica area since June 28th of this year. We'll be back. We'll find out why. Well, lots going on. First of all, I just got an email in from Art with regards to what are we going to do this weekend, Art, because of the typhoon that hit the Philippines, and it was a big one. Here's his email. He says, I think I'm going to give all this a try. We are on emergency power, only one air conditioner for the condo. He is borrowed power for his radio gear. I'm paraphrasing that. But that this is going to be one heck of a crapshoot. The internet is on and off. The power could go. The city is a mess. To top it off, there's another storm aimed directly at us. And he says, I'll keep in touch, but you better be ready with a backup plan. So we do have the backup plan. We'll do a best of Art Bell on Saturday, and I'll do Sunday show if something happens to his lines there. By the way, those of you who live in the Portland, Oregon area, just simply circle the calendar for Saturday, October 7 at 1 p.m. I'll be at the Powell's Bookstore out there on Burnside in Portland for the book signing of our book, Worker in the Light, the one that I wrote with co-author William Burns. So we'll be out there. Come on, Pilot. Great attendance in Detroit. They sold out all the books. Publisher has to get more out there and sold all of them out in St. Louis. We hope to do the same thing in Oregon as well. That's going to be October 7th. And then that Sunday, I'm going to be heading straight out to Joshua Tree to take part in Richard C. Hoagland's conference there. And if you're interested in the Joshua Tree conference, well, you can go to theenterprisemission.com or call this toll-free number, which is 800-900. That's easy to remember, right? 800-900-7030. 800-900-7030. Ed and Chris Sherwood are internationally known crop circle researchers with more than 30 years combined study and experience of the worldwide crop circle phenomenon. Ed began crop circle research in 1984 and on-site field work in 1990. Chris began crop research in 1991. Ed and Chris co-founded the Millennium Research in January of 96, which is a multimedia project created to document and share their combined research concerning the crop circles and related phenomena. Our guest on Coast to Coast tonight for the rest of this hour as we talk about this very strange situation over Santa Monica. Hello there, Ed and Chris. How are you?
Hi, George. We're Hi. Well, thank you.
Hi, George.
Good. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for
What is going on over the skies in Santa Monica, California? This is strange stuff.
Yeah, it's been very busy. In fact, in the last 2.5 to 3 months, we have witnessed more than 35 daylight UFO sightings, and I've videotaped about 30 of them. And we've seen at least 8 different types of UFO, including on at least one occasion and maybe 2 other occasions, a possible UFH sighting that was videotaped for 7 minutes. That's an unidentified flying humanoid. As well, the second over Santa Monica apparently in 2 years. So it's been quite busy.
Now, this I'm very fascinated with this UFH, the unidentified flying humanoid. I mean, some of the pictures I'm looking at off your website, Ed and Chris, it looks like whatever this thing is, it may be sitting like in some kind of a retro chair or something. What is it?
It appeared to have a UFO, a spherical shaped UFO above it. Which maybe was some form of transportation device, because we have now filmed a very similar looking object now at least 3 times, and on another occasion, instead of being above what seemed to be a humanoid figure, which moves around. We have also filmed a similar-looking object with spheres hanging down below it, or rather stacked below it. A lot of the sightings we've had and videotaped are very similar to events that have been happening down in Mexico in recent years and months.
Chris, tell us a little bit about your take on all this.
Well, needless to say, it's quite extraordinary. I've witnessed many of the sightings that Ed has, and some of the ones that he's filmed. He's filmed and witnessed some several more than I have, but I've seen a variety of very odd objects, ranging from capsule-like, you know, sort of pill-shaped smooth objects, very low, you know, going from north to south a lot of times. Some of them travel in a similar trajectory, but they're very wide variety. We're seeing the small pearly spheres, just like have been videotaped over Mexico so many times, and we're seeing odd-shaped things that seem to be maybe containers of spheres. We first filmed something that we were calling a flying boomerang back in 1999, which went across our neighborhood, just about over our apartment. And now, in retrospect, we're thinking that this was probably something more like what we've been filming recently, which is a container-like thing that seems to have spherical shapes within it.
Are you both noticing any kind of activity, governmental activity?
Not
out there
exactly.
Viewing some of this? No, huh?
Not really. I've seen a helicopter turn up to perhaps a couple of the sightings, but for the most part, no. And I'd like to say that more than half of these UFO sightings have appeared within 30 minutes of mentally inviting any benevolent extraterrestrial civilization out there visiting here to participate in our earth healing world peace meditations. So we haven't been trying to seek contact with any extraterrestrial civilizations. It's been a case of we've been conducting earth healing world peace meditations on many occasions synchronized with other people. For example, on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we do a regular Sunday meditation. But before we get underway, we invite benevolent ET participation, and we ask for a sign of their presence and participation, if they can and would like to, and ask for permission to record it. And more than half of the 30 sightings have appeared within between 5 and 30 minutes of the meditations, and many of them have appeared at the same place. Just 2 weeks ago, for example, a pearly white sphere appeared at the same place in the sky, identical-looking object, exactly 30 minutes after beginning the sky watch. And, in fact, the meditation we did before, we requested that there was a sign of participation at two different times, one immediately after meditation and another 6 hours later the same day, and exactly 30 minutes after beginning the watch on each occasion, the identical object appeared in the same place in the sky, hovering for up to 15 minutes before moving
away. I've got to tell you, Ed, clearly this is the most bizarre series of objects I have ever seen.
And we have many more, too. I mean, what's on the website right now is like 10%, if that, of what we have actually filmed. We're trying to process a lot of the images right now and trying to get them up on our site in the coming week or two. But we have many more to show, including very large objects. I've witnessed particularly very large cigar-shaped object, very low over the city, over our neighborhood, moving very slowly. All of these are in broad daylight. They are about 1,000 to 2,000 feet up in the air, just a bit too high perhaps for most people to spot if they're not really looking up. But they are very much responding to the meditations.
And we've also captured some things that we didn't see at the time, doing some very anomalous things. Ed filmed an object that he, through the viewfinder, thought was kind of flashing on and off. And when we looked at it a frame at a time and had it slowed down, we could see that it was jumping great distances within the space of one or two video frames and doing some really odd things, going from a dark object to a light object and sort of time jumping, you know.
Is anybody else seeing these objects with you or separately?
There's at least one other neighbor who happened to pass by. I mean, many people have passed by.
Oh, and we have a friend, David Mitchell, who lives down in Costa Mesa, and he's come up and photographed with his cameras the very same objects. So we've had the same objects photographed on videotape, 35 millimeter and digital, I think, stills.
Do we know if these objects are coming right out of the ocean?
We haven't seen any coming out of the ocean, but most of them are happening over a residential area of Santa Monica. But our friend David Mitchell from Costa Mesa, he has a spot down where he lives, which some years ago in 1999 there was a UFO sighting. And I invited him up and said, let's do a Earth Healing World Peace Meditation together, invite benevolent participation, ask for a sign of their participation and presence. And within 15 minutes, he witnessed from our apartment identical looking object that's appeared many times, a sphere. And he has also been watching his spot down in Costa Mesa and participating in meditations from there, and also photographed recently a great photograph of what looks like a ball plasma, a ball of energy in broad daylight just hovering from his spot. So we have multiple witnesses, we have independent witnesses, and we've also photographed and videotaped the same objects at the same time. We have so much material evidence right now that we're just trying our hardest to get it up on the site so people can look at it.
Yeah, so we have had some confirming emails of other sightings in the area, and someone sent us a digital photo of a small sphere that looks like what we've been seeing in the same area.
I've just never seen anything that looks this strange. I mean, this is really bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, some of it is very bizarre.
One of the objects, many of them are initially difficult to find in the camera viewfinder, but one in particular, I remember being very frustrating because it kept disappearing in the blue sky, and we actually caught this on tape. We have it moving from point A to point B, and along the journey, it disappears completely and reappears further away in the sky in a fraction of a second.
Okay, what are the odds? Here are two people, you, Ed, and you, Chris, crop circle investigators, and you've been doing it for a number of years, and all of a sudden you get these bizarre visitations. How do we know they're not watching you two?
Well, we've had that feeling from time to time. In fact, in many of the cases where I've videotaped something recently, some of the objects have behaved as if they were aware of how I was perceiving them. The view I was seeing, for example, we film many of these objects in relation to trees so that we can study their motion. And on several occasions, the object has moved slowly towards the foreground tree, and then as it approached it, it suddenly accelerated behind the tree as if playing with us or playing with me with the camera trying to record it. Lot happening. I mean, one of the most amazing things was a giant white worm-looking thing in the sky, which I think today is a container of multiple UFO spheres. I filmed one of these for 30 minutes, in fact, two of them for 30 minutes, but one of them, after filming it for about 25 minutes, started to release large spherical objects, then the whole lot flew like a fleet, like a UFO fleet that's been, many have been videotaped from in Mexico in years past and recently, and all of the objects that came out of this large, white, wormy-looking thing, which dwarfed, by the way, any medium-sized airplane which appeared in the sky. The whole lot just moved together in formation at speed away after filming it for 25 minutes. And, it's looking a lot like some of the impressive sightings from Mexico and a few other places.
I was going to say, can you address that figure one that I pulled off your website that kind of looks like a humanoid sitting back in a chair? You could see what looks like his head, his arms, and then his knees and leg. And, he's looking at another humanoid-type object standing up. It appears that to me. What about you, Ed?
Is this? I don't know exactly what picture you're looking at, but is it white?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. This was a sighting that I videotaped for 7 minutes, and the object was between, I'd say, 2-3 at the most, city block width away, so not very far, less than a quarter of a mile, a few hundred feet up in the air, traveling from right to left very slowly and stopping in midair and sometimes backing up and then flying forward really quickly and then stopping. And it looked like a white humanoid figure below what looked like a white sphere. So there was a white sphere above it in the picture, and it remains that way. The sphere doesn't change. It always is above it. But the humanoid shape does change throughout the footage. What appear to be short arms come out and go back in again. The humanoid turns in different ways so that you see it sideways on and also facing. There appears to be a head that moves around. And it's also very similar to some recent footage that is emerging from Mexico. And this is new footage and footage of what appear to be flying humanoids, but white in appearance. These aren't the same appearing humanoids that have been filmed in Mexico from 2004 onwards, which we've also filmed over our apartment in daylight in 2004.
Can we rule out fraud, hoax here from people?
Oh, totally.
People?
Completely. Okay. We have absolutely no interest and nothing to gain. We're just sharing our evidence. We're not trying to prove anything to anybody, but we're trying to document the events, share what has happened and what we think, our own views of why these things are happening, and to encourage others to try the same, because I've done this many times in England in the years past, and we've had many UFO responses following ET, benevolent ET invited world healing meditations. And I think that practically anyone out there in almost any location can try this. And I really think that the planet needs every bit of help that it can get. And
which is probably a great reason why there's so many sightings and they're on the increase. We feel strongly that it's because of out of concern for the planet, what we're doing to the planet, and what's happening down here.
What's going on with the crop formation situation? Ed, Chris?
Well, we've been keeping an eye on it, but to be honest, we have seen the subject become completely invaded by deceptive human circle making. There have been some genuine formations in far-flung places, a few in this country too, in recent years. But we have noticed that as of 2001, and in England, particularly in England, where the phenomena has been the most, we have seen just the human circle making basically take over the field. However,
is it obvious, Ed?
Say again?
Is it obvious that it's human?
Yes.
Yes.
To us it is.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, after studying the phenomenon since 84, and we look at them in many different ways, and one of them is to study the design symbolism as if you were studying someone's handwriting and to try to decipher the communication. And it's, in a way, we feel like we're in a similar position to the guy that discovered how to read hieroglyphs, because once you've cracked the code, once you understand how the intelligence or intelligences are communicating, then you can easily spot the frauds. You can spot the ones that are the rehashes and the contrived man-made formations. Having said all that, we are still the strongest advocates, among the strongest advocates of the genuine phenomenon. And for more than 15 years, there have been at least several hundred genuine pictogram formations. So there has been plenty of evidence of these formations coming from more than man.
All right. Thanks to both of you. I appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Their website, CropCircleAnswers.com. I'll be back in a moment as we go into our open line mode now on Coast to Coast AM.